The lazy one says, there's a lion unbound, a lion right there in the streets. As doors on their hinges are turning around, the lazy one clings to his sheets. That was Proverbs 26, verses 13 and 14. Our daily proverb for today, little children, from the Word Green version of 2004. It's very early this morning. I'm doing the video because I have some other things going on later in the day. Whitelaw's numbers we saw yesterday don't look too bad at the deluge, which is a great gross understatement, really. I was saying that facetiously because we had a miraculous agreement. I mean, it's practically impossible to get the kind of agreement that we got. Specifically, the agreement with the book of Jasher, saying that the ark was built in 5 years, and the fact that we dated the wood of the ark to 5 years before the deluge. Only in our chronology would it date to 5 years before the deluge. So we could see the result that we got from the radiocarbon that Mr. Wyatt provided as proving our chronology, absolutely proving it. This could be the only proof we need for the date of the deluge, which would then verify all of our lower chronology right down to today, because it's so spectacular that we got that agreement to such a fine degree of within 1 year. Now, of course, the wood for the ark could have been harvested hundreds of years before, could have been drying out for, or it could have been decades before the flood. So it didn't have to come out 5 years prior to the deluge at all. And in fact, they were building the ark for 5 years. It doesn't mean that they were necessarily constructing it for 5 years. Part of those 5 years could have been drying the wood. And, of course, preparing all the rivets and all the things, all the rest of the parts that were needed for the construction, all the metal parts, for example. And the technology of the ark, as we talk about in the Ark of Urartu article, that technology of the ark is really far advanced. Like, the metal that was found contained titanium and aluminum, and these were rivets that were actually in the petrified wood that were tested, and it was shown that it had metals that have never been used in manufacture until the modern day, except they were used prior to the deluge, based on those scientific tests. And so there are a lot of things about the real world that we can measure that prove that the Bible's true. And in fact, it's only the worldview of the scientist that determines how he interprets the data. That's an important point. So if someone doesn't believe the Bible, then nothing that he observes will convince him otherwise, because he's already made up his mind about that. Whereas, you know, if, in other words, the facts don't lead anywhere. Like, people often talk about that. I heard this on the Creation Ministries International YouTube channel. They mentioned this point a number of times where they said facts don't actually lead anywhere, whereas scientists often talk about, or the evidence, you know, not just scientists, lawyers talk about the evidence leading somewhere, or if they're, you know, conducting a court case, for example. But evidence actually doesn't lead anywhere. Evidence is just evidence. You have to use, it's your world view that you use. You have to use some kind of a predetermined opinion before you look at the evidence. Now, you can do it open-mindedly, right? Theoretically, but you can't interpret it without having made up your mind. Even though you can look at evidence with an open mind, if you look at it with a completely open mind, you're going to find you know, you have no way to develop a theory. There's no way to develop a theory if your mind's open. You know, I mean, you'd have to make up your mind first. So you see the facts, you say, well, okay, the lock is broken on the door. You say, well, somebody broke in. But you could say, you could also have said, the homeowner locked himself out and had to break the lock to get in. I mean, you could see it from different angles, or using a different worldview. It can completely change how you view the evidence. So there's nothing wrong with the Bible viewpoint, in fact. And this is one way that we've shown that, is with this date from the Ark Wood. And we hope Ron Wyatt is, I hope he's resting in peace, I said here, after the calculation that used his wood dating. Because I was so excited by this result that I was wondering if Ron Wyatt might not be resting in peace. It was so exciting for me. The Ark Wood that was dated for this purpose and that showed the 5,700 year age before present uncalibrated age, which we calibrated to 6488, that was actually a glue laminated piece of timber, and the word quote unquote gopher that is used in the Bible to describe it is said to mean exactly that, quote unquote laminated. So the piece of timber there that Mr. Wyatt dug up on the site of Noah's Ark National Park was laminated wood, and it had hardened glue, which had been seen, which appeared to have been dripping off the edge of the wood thousands of years ago, you know, before it was petrified, at the time it was laminated. In the Aramaic tongue, from which the word gopher came, it means laminated. I should give what we know about the provenance of the Ark Wood. A piece of fossilized wood, or petrified, I'm not sure what you would call it, but it was, perhaps fossilized is not the right word. And speaking about fossils, I mentioned yesterday that fossils require enormous, very thick layer of sediment to be deposited on top of them, because the reason for that is that, not just because we know about scavengers. Have you ever noticed if any animal is in dire straits at the end of their life, or if any animal's in trouble, scavengers immediately appear, right? Vultures in the sky appear. Scavengers are always there, ready to devour the carcass of a dead animal or dead human. So we know for sure that any animal that had been fossilized would have been eaten first. It would never have had any opportunity to be fossilized if it were lying on the ground for any length of time, which it would have been in the long or old earth long ages theory of the old earth, with many millions of years passing and thin layers of sediment being laid down gradually, you know, so that there would never be really enough of a layer to cover the dead animal before it was devoured or even rotted. If it were a plant or a tree trunk, it would rot. It, lying in the ground, it wouldn't just become fossilized, contrary to what we find, because evidently there was a lot of sediment laid down all at once, and that would be consistent with the deluge. And that's how fossils are formed, is with the pressure of a thick layer of sediment pressing down. So it has to be many, many, many centimeters, probably meters thick, many meters probably, before it can be enough pressure to form a fossil, because not only do the fossilized plants and animals have to be intact, not rotten and not scavenged, but they also have to be under pressure to force out the liquid that's in them. That's part of fossilization, and that's what prevents decay, right? So fossilization is only consistent with the Bible. It's not consistent with the long earth, old earth, the long time history of the earth. It's just not consistent with it. Now, this fossilized wood was found at a groundbreaking ceremony, which Mr. Wyatt attended. Now, he found, yeah, so it wasn't fossilized, probably just petrified, but it was found. Somehow it didn't rot, but it was found below the earth, right? But not too far below the surface of the earth. We don't know how it got there. It was unearthed during the breaking of the ground. I mean, it actually crosses my mind that maybe it was put there by Mr. Wyatt after he found it somewhere else, so that he would find it, or quote-unquote find it, during the groundbreaking. But I don't think he was that kind of a person who would do something like that. So if it was fossilized or petrified, the question is, what conditions are necessary for petrification, and is it consistent with that? Is the fact that it was found just below the ground surface consistent with the idea that it was fossilized? Because it was fossilized wherever it was found. The public nature of the discovery gave it provenance. That's the other thing. It was discovered right on camera. There's a video of it. I've seen the video where Ron is putting the shovel in the ground. The public nature of the discovery gave it provenance. The dripping material on the outer edge of the wood is now believed to be glue, after the cutting of sections in the wood revealed it to be an actual lamination. When they cut through the wood, they could see the laminations. And there looked like there was hardened glue on the edge. So that would also be consistent with lamination. So, and that was consistent with the Aramaic word for lamination, which was gopher. In the Bible, it was called gopher wood that was used by Noah. So it looks like Noah used lamination in the ark's parts. The site where Noah's ark was found by Mr. Wyatt, and by other people too, of course, but many people have rejected it, was called the Derupinar site. It's near Yüzengeli in Turkey. The city of, or town of, Yüzengeli is where it's located, near to that. And the article I showed you recently by Mr. Baumgartner reminded me that there was a Mr. Baumgartner who went, he was a scientist from Los Alamos. I believe it was the same place as the author of the article, who was also from Los Alamos. So I think he's the same person, or a close relation of that person, perhaps the son, or maybe he's the same person, who was there with Ron Wyatt doing tests at Noah's Ark. And of course, he was, part of this team that worked at the site of Noah's Ark, and he may have believed for a period of time that that was Noah's Ark. He may still believe that now, because we saw the paper he did regarding the radiocarbon dating, right, of fossils that showed that he is apparently of the opinion that the Earth is of a relatively young age. So he may be the same man, in fact, who was there doing the tests at Yüzengeli. There was a man, and it's found, you'll find that in the YouTube videos that concern Noah's Ark National Park, and particularly the videos that concerned Ron Wyatt. They included footage of this Mr. Baumgartner from Los Alamos doing tests with sophisticated equipment. I think it was radar equipment he was using, or he may have been the one who was using the radar equipment, or maybe it was some other equipment. But at some point they used radar equipment, too, to detect underground structures of the material below the Earth. And that also demonstrated that it was a regular man-made structure, such as the Ark. It is near Mount Ararat, this Noah's Ark National Park, which is near Uzangili, at the Drupanar site. It's near Mount Ararat, and everybody for years has said this wrongly. For so many years, they've taken the Bible as saying that the Ark landed on Mount Ararat, which it didn't say in the Bible. It said in the mountains of Ararat, which is a chain of mountains, and one of which is this mountain at the Drupanar site. So even the Bible is consistent with all of this, but it came to rest, as the Bible said, in the mountains of Ararat rather than Mount Ararat, specifically a mountain that's probably within sight of, visually, of the Drupanar site. It's not that far away. A place frequently sought by hopefuls is Mount Ararat. So many people have climbed Mount Ararat, and they still do, I think, even today. They climb Mount Ararat thinking they're going to find Noah's Ark, when the Bible never said that it was Mount Ararat where the Ark landed. So they don't investigate very much, do they? We are greatly indebted to the late Ron Wyatt for his tireless work in bringing us Noah's Ark. Ron, we love you. In our second order approximation, then, correcting by interpolating the amounts given by Robert L. Whitelaw, we obtained a 5-year construction from woodcut to ark. As we talked about and proved, we showed it, we demonstrated it. It was really, really amazingly accurate, ridiculously perfect, and I was beside myself at the time I discovered that it was in harmony with our chronology, because I was always wanting more evidence, and probably still am, to prove our chronology. But because it was, it's one thing to prove the Exodus date, which seems a lot better established, than to go all the way back from 1493 at the Exodus to 3282 BCE at the deluge. That's a long time before. So to get that correct, that means all of the patriarchal ages had to be correct. Everything had to be correct within, a very narrow margin. Now, when we did that calculation, of course, we also allowed for the fact that the Bible only says how many years old each patriarch was at the birth of his firstborn son. He doesn't, or at the birth of the son who's mentioned in the account. So the age of the father at the birth of the son, or the age of the father at the birth of the next generation, is given. And that's all it gives, is the number of years old that he was. So it doesn't include months. So when we did our calculations for the genealogy, we included 6 months extra on average in all of these examples, in all of these cases. And even for the first 8 or 10 patriarchs, we might have even allowed even a little more than 6 months per generation extra. Seems to me, I was looking at that the other day. But whatever was guiding me, I was being guided by my belief in the Bible, right, and my faith in God in everything I did. So I wouldn't deserve any credit, but I think that it's possible. And we always keep adjusting as we learn more. But it's possible that we're close in many respects. Now, you know, proving, we haven't really proved, or it's difficult, but we haven't found a way yet to prove 5550 as the first year of Adam's life, in this, not in the, at least not in the same way that we proved the ark at 3282, just in this chapter. We haven't proven Adam at 5550. I don't know how we could do that, because radiocarbon won't go back that far, right? We're already seeing that radiocarbon has very grave difficulties at the time of the deluge. You know, so how can we go back further than that? It's pretty impossible, using, at least using radiocarbon. So that's why we only did it using the patriarchal ages, the ages of the patriarchs in the Bible, from the Septuagint version. That's another point. We use the Septuagint, which many people have rejected, and it's become popular, and in fact it's become the norm to use the Masoretic text instead of the Septuagint, and the numbers are different, vastly different in some cases for the patriarchal ages. So it brings us to 2,000 years earlier and about 1,000 years earlier for the deluge than what the Masoretic text does. Now, the five-year construction we found in our second order approximation for the age of the ark wood, that was the 5 years before the date of the deluge, when the wood was cut, that brought to mind the book of Jasher, and how in Jasher 5, verse 34, the ark was said to have begun with 5 years before the deluge. It was 5 years to go, or 5 years to spare. So that the ark construction began 5 years before the deluge, according to the book of Jasher, and we have found the same thing using our approximations and using the 5700, which Mr. Ron Wyatt gave us. So when he gave us 5700, he said it was just, he just gave it like a round ballpark number, 5700. Maybe it was pretty close to 5700. We don't know, though, because he didn't give an exact, he didn't say it was exactly 5700. He said it was about 5700. But when he said it was about 5700, he didn't believe in radiocarbon very much anyway, he said. So perhaps it was exactly 5700, but he said about 5700 because he didn't believe in the radiocarbon. It's hard to know what he believed exactly about the radiocarbon. So we took it to mean exactly 5700, and we arrived at that result. We hope to conclude our article with a summary of each of the 12 chapters thereof with the beauty of a tree. And that's the end of chapter 11. We've concluded paragraph 12 of chapter 11 of Trojan War, which was called Adjusting Whitelaw's Estimate, Radiocarbon Arc Wood. One of the most exciting things that was that I did in the research I did, of all the research I did for the genealogy, that was one of the most exciting things. Because, for one thing, I didn't expect anything. Didn't expect any discovery or any great result or anything. And it worked out like that. I just thought I'd better try that. And I did this the first time I did it. This is what happened. I did this the very first try. And you can see I use a different approximation in the second order in paragraphs. In paragraph 11.6. I use a different interpretation from the low side than what I do from the high side. A different way of doing that second order approximation. In the second case, for example, when I did the high side, I took the middle ground between the increment on the one side that was 2900 and the increment on the other side that was 2000. And I said, let's start with the middle point of that as our beginning point, right? And then we'll take and shift and see how much we have to add to that, which should be where it is. Should be what it is at 5900, because it was 2900 in the increment previous and 2000 in the increment after it. Is that true? I think so. Yeah. I think that's right. The 2000, it was just an estimate for the increment after it, because that estimate was, of course, assuming that the conditions prior to the deluge continued after, or that the trend continued after, but it didn't, of course. That changing nature of the radiocarbon prior to the deluge was a transient effect. In other words, it only happened for that short period of time, a few decades, perhaps, around the time of the deluge. It didn't go beyond that. So we were interpolating as if it had continued, that trend. So the trend was a changing trend, too, where the increments were changing. And we extrapolated or interpolated. Actually, it's really an extrapolation where we're going beyond. It's just an interpolation is going in between. But we interpolated in between as we were doing this extrapolation, but we extrapolated to get 2,000. 3,700, 2,900, 2,000. The 2,000 was an extrapolation. If those trends had continued. But then we said, let's average 2,900 and 2,000, and we get roughly 2,500 as the middle of that. And we start with that as our assumption for the point in the middle, which is 5,990. And the uncorrected dates. And then we added a further correction to that based on the 6,488 that we had. And that brought us a little higher than 2,700 because we were prior to the deluge. So that was a valid way of doing it. But when we did the other correction on the other side, we didn't do it exactly the same way. We could have extrapolated and then taken the middle value. So when we extrapolated to 660, we could have started at 650, right? And then made a correction from that. But we didn't do it that way on the low side. But the low side was changing more gradually anyway. So, it made sense to do it the way we did it on the low side. And I did make an adjustment there, which significantly raised the number, which would have also happened if we'd done it by averaging to start with. I believe, let's see, if we guessed 660 and we average it to between 640 and 660, we got 650 as a starting point. Then we would have been adding not another 20 years, but we would have been seeing what fraction we needed to add, of that. Of that 20 years, right? If we started at 650, we would have been in the middle at 5,990, right? And we were still going up to 6,488. We could have done it the same way as we did it. I haven't tried it the other way, but this way, but it would have raised it up. What was the other? From the low side, we're doing it, right? So, yeah. What's 5,990 plus 660? Let's do that. Let's do it right now. 5,990 plus 660. 5,990 plus 660. Right? That would have been 6,650. And so we were going, and that would have been the full 20 years of the increment increase, right? Right, using 660 instead of 650. But if we started with 650 and we added a correction of, well, how much more of the additional 10 years would we be adding is the question in going from and going from 5990 up to 6488 compared to 6650. Well, 6488 is closer to 6650 than it is to 5990, right? It's 498 years away in one case, and what is it? Minus 498. 61. No, that's not what I want. I'm going to say. Minus 6488. It's 162 years on that side and 492. Okay, so 162 divided by 498 is what I want. To see, or is it? Wait a minute. Yeah, to find the ratio. Where it's a third of the way from the end, right? So, of the last 10 years, we get another 3 years on top. It would be 653 or something. Maybe we should have got... What were we adding? Yeah, 6660. The other calculation is... We said... 650, so... Yeah, 5990. Let's do it again. 5990 plus 650. So you see how you develop these things gradually. 6640 would have been the starting point, and we would have had to add one-third of the ten extra years. So about three more years would be 6643. And we used 6647. Because we did it this other way, but the other thing was, we did it the way we did it. We would have got 6645 if I'd used, as I worked out the other day, I would have got 6645, which is even closer to 6647. But it changes our final result considerably by at least a year here. So the way I did it, for some reason, made it exactly this number, and that's what worked. But the way I did it also allowed for the fact that the 20 years probably wasn't enough. So 6647 instead of 6645 or 6643 is probably better, because we know the increment was going up exponentially. There was some very sudden, you know, a non-linear rise, right? Like a change that was accelerating at the time of the deluge. So 6647 seemed a lot more reasonable and to me at the time, and it worked perfectly. So that's it for today's study. It's August 19th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 09:33 hours North American Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty and this is Cassie saying bye for now. That was the end of Chapter 11. We'll be hopefully starting Chapter 12 very shortly, soon. And bye for now.